Hello and welcome to this week's Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast. I'm Jeff Heisner, the district's digital media director and video journalist. Today we're talking about the recruitment of professional church workers, and we're joined today by the Reverend Dr. Rob Casper, who's the assistant to the president here at the district, along with many other hats and many other titles. Isn't that true?
That is true. Excited to be that.
All right. Rob, well, let's just dive right into it. We're talking recruitment of professional church workers. This has kind of been a hot topic lately, hasn't it?
It really has. It's been a concern for the church, for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, almost as long as I've been in ministry, and that's 30-some years. But it really became critical, I know, when I was on the board of directors of our Michigan district, probably about 15 years ago, when the conversation really began to increase. At the same time, however, we had graduating classes at our seminaries and at our Concordia University schools that sometimes they didn't have enough placements for them. And so it was like, okay, do we have too many pastors? Do we have too many teachers? And so it's like we're giving two messages out there. And so I think we were at that point unsuccessful in saying, no, this really is going to happen. I mean, just do the math with the baby boomers, and the generation ahead of the baby boomers. You know, you've got retirements and you have deaths and you have resignations and so on to the tune of 200 plus per year, and you're only graduating 160 or something like that. You're going to finally come to a place where you just don't have enough. It's kind of reached critical levels now where, for example, last year, we between the two seminaries, you only had like 78. I don't know if that's the exact number, but like less than 80 men that were prepared to receive a call into a parish ministry.
And how many do we need per year?
Well, we probably need a couple hundred per year.
Wow.
So now the scope of the ministry has changed, too. Congregations are a little bit smaller, quite a bit smaller now. But they still haven't figured out, well, how do we work together with another congregation to call a pastor or, schools? You know, how do we consolidate schools? And yet that ownership of a school with a congregation, that's pretty precious. How do we divest ourselves of that and still have a Christian day school? So there's all kinds of things that are kind of converging on us right now. And it's very, very uncomfortable as we go through this time of transition.
So with that, what can we do to increase the number of students that are considering full-time ministry?
Well, I think it comes down in some respects to congregations, raising up young people in particular. If you look at our seminaries, about 50% of those that are going to seminary are second career men, either going alternate route or they just dropped everything to go to the seminary. And we could talk about Lutheran school teachers, coming out of our Concordia University system. There simply just are not enough that are training for specifically Lutheran schools and teaching in our Lutheran schools. So I think it does come down to congregations raising up their young people and challenging them to consider full-time church work.
How has this worked in the past, especially in your ministries, and how effective has it been?
Well, I was very privileged to serve for 18 and a half years at St. Peter Macomb, Michigan, and that congregation alone, between the years of 1997 and 2011, produced 51 full-time church workers. We set a goal. We simply set a goal. One of our targets as we did our strategic planning, a goal was to deploy 25 full-time church workers between 1997 and 2007. When you set that as a goal, then you have to back off of that and ask, well, what are the strategies to get that done? And one of the strategies was, we need to talk about this. We need to challenge each student. So we began a process of meeting with every individual student who was confirmed. Before they were confirmed, each pastor, we had three pastors at the time. One class, for example, had 77 students, but we met one-on-one with each student, with their parents, and not all of them, but those that we thought had the acumen, had the passion, had the faith life, had some of those qualities that you look for in a potential church worker. We laid out for them, hey, have you ever considered going into full-time church work as a teacher or as a pastor or as a DC, as a DCE? And as we had those conversations, the parents were the first ones to respond. Well, we can't afford, private school. We can't afford to send them to a Concordia. And we said, well, that's another strategy. And so then we realized we need to financially support students who are going into full-time church work. And so the congregation was very gracious and generous, and they started a funding process whereby we could support students to the tune of $2,000 or $3,000 a year to go to a Concordia University system if they were preparing for full-time church work. And so we began to back that off. Another strategy that we said was, if we want to raise up church workers, we need to treat our present church workers with respect and honor and raise them up as people that should be esteemed. And that's a legitimate career that you should consider, young person, because look at how they get to serve. Look at how people look at them. And so that culture needed to be adjusted as well. So several things took place over the course of those years that enabled that congregation to generate that level of support, but then also that level number of students to go through our training programs.
So making it a priority is one thing, but there's still a number of hurdles out there and obstacles in the way.
Yeah, finances are certainly one of them. It is expensive for Concordia University School. Quite frankly, if you go to a Concordia University Ann Arbor, it's more expensive than if you go to a state school in here in Michigan. If you're a resident of the state of Michigan, but there's also working through the whole process of student aid, and there's different grants and so on that you can apply for. And it's doing the hard work, the investigation. Some of it has to be done by someone who is passionate about this process, but families can do this too. They can investigate and find out, how are we going to pay for this? The schools will help you figure out how to pay for this. The easy thing is to just take student loans and go deep in debt. I think there's other ways to get that done through grants, and there's different institutions and so on that will assist with your education. It does take some research, but it can be done.
Yeah, like anything in this whole project or the recruitment of professional church workers, it's not going to be a quick fix, is it?
No, it's not a quick fix. It's a long-term thing, especially when we're kind of digging ourselves out of a hole now. Because we're so far behind in the number of church workers that we have needed, still do need, and will need in the future. You wonder, can we ever catch up? I think we can set some targets, and we can move in the right direction, at least, as opposed to continuing to fall back. And then some other things need to change as well. But I think there's some hope.
Now, being able to connect with the young people and recruit professional church workers, how is that going to affect congregations, ministries, and just everything, the church's mission in the future?
I think it's going to cause us to look differently at congregational ministry. I think we want to, remember the old saying, the youth are the church of the future. We need to invest in the youth. And some of that has been interpreted as we need to keep them engaged by providing a youth group, providing activities and fellowship opportunities and Bible studies and so on. All those things are wonderful. However, we also need to give them hands-on experiences in ministry in the congregation now. Not only our junior high and high school students and even younger children, the church of the future, they're the church right now. And they've been gifted, and they have relationships, and they have opportunities to serve right now. one of the things that we did in our day school at St. Peter was we asked ourselves, what do we want to produce at the end of 9 years? So kindergarten through eighth grade, what do we want to produce? Well, we didn't want to produce only well-educated kids who wore polo shirts and khaki pants. We wanted to produce disciples of Jesus Christ, people that were eager to serve in some way. And so we developed a plan working with the faculty. What's age-appropriate ministry opportunities for children in kindergarten? Mm-hmm. What's age-appropriate opportunities for children in third grade or fourth grade or eighth grade? And then we developed ministries like every classroom sponsored or was like, you know, had a one of our shut-ins that they sponsored. And so they would either purchase or create greeting cards for their birthdays or for Christmas or something like that. So they adopted a shut-in. And every classroom had two or three shut-ins that they adopted. Some of the small children would go to nursing homes and sing at Christmas time and Easter. Some of the older children would go to a local school for handicapped students and help them just to eat lunch and just serve because they were not only mentally but also physically handicapped and needed assistance to eat. And so we just gave them opportunities in the community to serve. And that begins to create a culture of service, a culture of ministry. And that's really what ministry means, is service. Gave them that experience. They experienced the Holy Spirit flowing through them as they worked with someone else. And they received joy from that and affirmation through that. And it became a good thing to observe. And it really prepared them for the question then, have you ever considered serving God in His church in full-time ministry?
So with the worker shortage and everything that the church is facing right now, what's your hope for congregations and ministries out there?
Well, my hope is to have plenty of workers to not only serve the congregations and ministries that exist today, but to expand the ministries and the congregations that exist today. That we can plant new churches, we can grow new ministries, that we have enough full-time church workers that can take lead on that. In the meantime, I think we are going to see congregations that have to find a new reality. And we're seeing that in our Michigan district. I think you go to any district, you're going to see that not only in urban areas, but also in rural areas. Urban areas because of a changing demographic, and congregations can't keep up with the changes, and so they dwindle in size. They need to figure out how to address that new reality for them. But then in rural settings, you have the declining population. So congregations that were strong, they simply don't have the population density. Though they reach out to their community, they serve their community in Jesus' name, they're an inviting and welcoming faith community. There simply is not the demographic that supports a self-sustaining congregation. So they may need to find new ways to do ministry by sharing a pastor or sharing a youth worker. We have examples where you not only have a dual parish, but maybe we're also experimenting with a cathedral model where one congregation in a region, let's say a circuit, maybe has more staff than they actually need. But they have sister congregations who don't have any staff. They don't even have a pastor. And they partner with that cathedral church, the center church, please provide us with pastoral leadership for worship. Please provide us a youth minister once a month. Please provide us an evangelist a couple days a month or something. So they figure out a way to do ministry together that is beneficial for everybody and provides adequate support for the church worker and also expansion of the kingdom through those locations.
So working together going to be a huge thing with what you're talking about in regards there. And then obviously in recruiting new professional church workers, isn't it?
Yeah, we have to work at it in both directions because right now we just simply have a shortage. Mm-hmm. And then there's also congregations that can't afford a full-time pastor. So we just need to find a way forward right now. The future, though, is to develop more and more church workers and to expand the kingdom by planting new churches. And we're going to have opportunities for worker priests. You have someone who is he's an engineer, but we find a track that we can train him to be a pastor as well. Maybe he's still an engineer 5 days a week, does his 40-hour, 50-hour week. In addition to that, he serves very part-time as a pastor of a smaller congregation or as a staff pastor carrying out some ministry. There's lots of ways to skin this cat, but we need to figure out how to humbly approach these issues and these questions and find ways forward, working with our Concordia University System schools to figure out short-term training of some kind for teachers and so on. We have a gifted teachers, for example, we do it now, gifted teachers from our public schools who are committed Christians, and they're being contracted into our Christian day schools, but they don't have the training as a Lutheran school teacher. Well, we already have a colloquy program that they can get their Lutheran training and become certified or commissioned ministers of religion teacher. So we already have some of those things in place. We need to press that button a little bit more, and I think that will help. But it is going to be a working together and humbly saying we don't have to be in charge of everything. We can actually just enter into what someone else is doing and partner with them, support them while they also support us in what we need in terms of a church worker.
All right, Rob, we thank you so much for joining us today. Appreciate your time and appreciate the great thoughts on recruiting more professional church workers into our church, something that's needed badly.
It is, and thank you for the opportunity to share.
All right, and thank you for listening to this week's Michigan District's Thought Leader Podcast.